Your Bibles, turn with me to Joshua chapter number 1. We'll be taking some of our reading from Joshua chapter number 1. I just want to say that, again, I'm proud of all of our graduates that are here and even the ones that are not graduating just yet. For all of our kids that are in our church, you know, and a lot of them are to the age that they're starting to kind of make their own choices. I mean, my son is 16 now. I almost said 15, but he is 16 now, and he thinks that he can make some of his own choices, but he does not have a choice whether he comes to church or not. He, as long as he lives in my house, he'll come to church. And I hope I never eat those words. If you see me come dragging him in here by a rope one day, he'll know that we're in that discussion, and we'll see if I can win that battle or not. I may have to call on some of you to help me with that. But I want to say to you this morning that I am so proud of you for being in the house of the Lord this morning. You know, as we were given the gifts to the graduates this morning, I could look and see the decorations hung around some of them's neck where they had some great accomplishments in high school, and those are wonderful, and I'm proud of you for those also. Always do the best that you can in everything that you do. I think that is great work ethic and will be for the rest of your life. But I want to say something to you. By you being in the house of the Lord and being a child of God, that all of those things that maybe were draped across your neck or the accomplishments that you have here will be nothing compared to one day when you stand before God and He says, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." When He hands you that crown of life, that's going to be the accomplishment that's going to mean more than anything in this world that you could ever accomplish. So stick in there for the glory of God. I ask you to pray for me as we get into the message this morning to be able to preach exactly what God's laid upon my heart. I'm going to steal a couple of ideas from a brother preacher here in the congregation this morning. Thankful for a lot of the wisdom that has been given to me through some of you in the congregation. And I'm going to steal a couple of ideas this morning. I ask y'all just to be much in prayer for me as we get into the Word of God. But if we will, let's bow your heads and let's go to the Lord in word of prayer. Lord, we thank you and we praise you for this day, and we thank you for everything that you do for us, God. God, I'm so unworthy to stand here, God. You know me. You know my mind and my heart, my emotions. God, you know exactly who I am from the inside out. God, you know I'm not worthy. And God, I just want to ask you, dear Father, Lord, just to help me as I stand here today, God. I pray that you'll move me and my weaknesses and my faults and my failures out of the way. Forgive me for the sin, God. And God, help me just to be a mouthpiece for you for the next few moments. God, help me to preach the message that you've laid upon my heart. God, I want to thank you for everyone that's here today. And may we come with an open mind and an open heart, allowing you to speak to us. May we respond to the word of God, dear Lord, the way that you speak to us. God, I want to thank you again for each and every one that's here. I pray for the needs that may be in our congregation, God. I pray that you'll meet every one of those needs. Most of all, if there's one here today with the need of salvation, God, I pray that sometime throughout the service today that they'll listen for your voice, that you'll speak to them, that they'll respond and receive salvation before it's everlasting too late. God, we thank you for all that you do. In Jesus' name that I pray, amen. Joshua chapter number 1, we're going to begin reading verse number 1. And as we get into verse number 1, I want you to know that as we're reading here, Moses has been leading the children of Israel out of Egypt. They have left Egypt and they've been out in the wilderness. Now look, this transition from Egypt over into the promised land shouldn't have taken very long at all. And it ended up taking over 40 years, and God was molding and God was making these people into who he wanted them to be during this process and during this time. And as this is going on, now we are to the place that Moses is, he's gotten old. And Moses is about to die. So now the children of Israel, they need a new leader. Joshua chapter number 1, a new leader is assigned. Verse number 1, the Bible says, "Now after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant is dead now, therefore arise. Go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, into the land which I do give them, even to the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses." God is beginning to commission Joshua. Moses has been leading the children of Israel. Moses is now dead, and God has come to Joshua, and he's going to commission him to lead the children of Israel. And I want you to notice, he says, "I need you to go over to the land that I have given the children of Israel." And he says, "Every place," in verse number 3, "that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given you." Verse number 4, "From the wilderness and this Lebanon, even unto the great river, the river Euphrates, and all the land of the Hittites, and unto the great sea toward the going down of the sun, shall be your coast. There shall not any be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I'll be with thee. I will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. Amen. I'm glad to see that promise right there in God's word. Man, if that don't speak to your heart and knowing that God said, Joshua, I'm going to be there. I'll never fail you. I'll never forsake you. And God has given us that same promise. Verse number 6, be strong and of good courage. For unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Only be thou strong and very courageous. The second time we've seen the word courage or courageous. That thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, and thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. I want you to notice that God has given Joshua instructions, and he's saying, this is what you do if you want to have success. You don't turn to the right or to the left. You stay right where I've put you. You stay right in the middle of my will, and you will have success. I will never fail thee. I will never forsake thee. He's telling them, I'm going to be right there with you no matter what. But as we get into the scriptures and as you continue reading, we can find that there are times during this journey as Joshua is leading the children of Israel that it was not always a bed of roses, that it was not always easy. And I want to tell you this morning that God has promised us that he will never leave us, that he will never forsake us, that he'll go with us all the way even unto the end of the world. But it's not going to be a bed of roses to live a Christian life, to walk the walk that God has given us. But I want to tell us something this morning. If we'll stay and we don't go to the left or to the right, but we stay in the center of God's will, I promise you that's going to be the easiest way to walk. It's not when I say the easiest, it's not going to be the easiest road for you to walk, but it's going to be where God can bless you and God can have his hand on you and God can strengthen and God can help you. What God didn't tell Joshua here, he said, hey, look, in his future, there were fixing to be some days of stress, some days of decisions, some days of success, and also some days of failure. But he did have the promise that God would always be with him. I want you to read verse number 9 with me. Look, verse number 9. Have not I commanded thee for the third time, be strong and of good courage. You know what today that we need more than anything? We need some courageous Christians. We need some people who are willing to stand strong. We don't need to be spineless. We don't need to be gutless. We don't need to be We don't need to be in a place that we're fearful. We don't need to be cowards. But this morning, we need to be strong and of good courage. I don't know who you would want backing you up other than God. I don't know who you would want on your side other than God. If God be for us, who can be against us this morning? I want us to know that we can be strong and of good courage, just as he was telling Moses here. He says, be strong and of good courage. Be not afraid, neither be that thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. I told you a few moments ago that I was going to steal something from a brother here in the service. A couple of Wednesday nights, I had Preacher Fall fill in for me. Does everybody know who Preacher Fall is? Raise your hand, Preacher Fall. Amen, there's Preacher Fall. Now y'all know who Preacher Fall is. He filled in for me a couple of Wednesday nights ago, and man, he brought a lesson that I have been chewing on for 2 solid weeks. Every time that I sit down, I keep hearing this in my mind. I keep hearing it over and over, and God, as I was coming back from a softball tournament last night, I began to pray and ask God help speak to my mind before I even get home tonight. It was going to be about 12 o'clock when we got home. God, just start putting some thoughts in my mind for tomorrow, and when I get home, I'll dig and I'll study, and God, I'll sleep on it, and I'll do my best to be prepared to to stand tomorrow morning. And this was the only thought that I could get on my mind as I began to think about our teenagers that are graduating. But then even further out, as I look at each and every one of our lives, I believe that he shared a quote with us. Preacher Falls shared a quote with us that Wednesday night that I have just been chewing on over and over again. He went one direction with it. I'm going to take it a different direction this morning. But let me share this with you this morning. Shannon, if you will, put the quote up. Look at this. This quote happened either in the book. If you read, I don't read, I watch movies. But it was in the book, or you could go and see it in the movie. Actually, I was telling my daughter just the other day, she was trying to get her AR points. Some of you school teachers ain't going to like this. I said, look, if you can't read it, go get the movie and watch it so you can go take an AR test. I know, terrible dad. I said, don't cheat, whatever you do, but go get the movie. But in the middle of this movie, we bought a zoo a quote by Benjamin Mee. Look at this quote, what it says. You know, sometimes all you need is 20 seconds of insane courage. Just literally 20 seconds of just embarrassing bravery. And I promise you, something great will come of it. Look, as God is speaking to Joshua here in Joshua chapter number 1, now look, he's going to need more than 20 seconds. It's going to happen over and over again. But in that decision-making time, it is literally just a few moments, just a few seconds of crazy, insane bravery, of crazy, insane courage that you have to say, this is what I'm going to do. This is the way that I'm going to go about this. And once you make your mind up, every single one of y'all are probably just like me. I'm hard-headed enough that once I make my mind up, I'm going to do it, and nobody's going to stand in my way of doing it. When we finally get to the place that we say, this is what I'm going to do, this is what I'm going to choose, and as God has commissioned Joshua right here, he says, I need you to be strong and be courageous. I need you to be brave. I need you to go forward, and you know what? I'm going to be with you in the middle of all of this, and I want to challenge you this morning. I want to challenge our graduates this morning as they are stepping out into a new role, as they are stepping out into a new life almost, I guess you could say, as they have new challenges. Look, it's not always going to be easy. It's not always going to be a bed of roses. It's not always going to be just a happy, happy, joy, joy situation. But I'm going to tell you this morning that you've got a God that's going to be there with you. You're going to have times of decision making that comes up in your life. You're going to have times that you're going to say, am I going to go to the right? Am I going to go to the left? Or am I going to stay right in the middle of what God wants me to do? I want to tell you something this morning. If you'll take those 20 seconds of insane courage, those 20 seconds of insane bravery, and you'll stick with God, that's something great. Great will come out of it. Some of us, in those times of decision, when we needed that 20 seconds of courage, we didn't have that and we chose the wrong path. Some of us have taken the wrong road instead of being brave and being courageous for the glory of God. We have taken the wrong road, and in most of those instances, nothing great at all come of it. For just a few moments, I want to maybe go through a couple of situations that you're going to need this crazy, strong, insane courage. There are going to be times in your life that you're going to need crazy, strong courage. Crazy, strong bravery. For our first example, I want us to go to one of my favorite stories in the Bible. Let's look at Daniel chapter number 3. I'm not going to ask you to turn there. We know the story, and I'm not going to get too in-depth with it this morning for the sake of time. But in Daniel chapter number 3, we find that there's a king named Nebuchadnezzar. Nebuchadnezzar, he has set up this great golden image, and he thinks that this thing is the most beautiful thing in the world and that everybody should come and should worship this golden image. He has called all of the pristine people, everyone that's important, all the who's who is now at his party. And he has instructed everyone, I want to tell you something, that at the time that we play all of these musical instruments, I expect everyone to bow down and I expect everyone to worship my golden image. And as Nebuchadnezzar has done this, there are some people here that are not too sure about this. There are some people that don't know that they like what Nebuchadnezzar is instructing to do. So now they've got a choice to make. They've got a decision that they've got to come up against. And as they're standing here and all of this who's who is there and the music begins to play, that everybody begins to bow and everybody begins to worship this golden image that Nebuchadnezzar has set up, except for all of a sudden someone points out that there's three young men standing over here to the side that will not bow and worship the golden image. We know these three men are Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And we know how they went to the king and they said, King, you've got to know something. You have instructed everyone. And I want to tell you, all of the who's who is doing it. All of the pristine is doing it. Everybody that's important is following your instructions, except for these three guys who are actually slaves. They're not bowing down and they're not worshiping your golden image. What are you going to do? So Nebuchadnezzar calls them to him. And he says, here, guys, I got to talk to you about something. You guys know that I like you. You know I like you just fine, but I have given a command. And you're not following my command. Now look, you've got a choice to make. You are either going to bow to my golden image or I'm going to throw you into the fiery furnace. Now, is it true that you're not bowing? Sure, it's true that we're not bowing. So what are you going to do? Oh, King, we want you to know that we're not going to bow. They had to make a choice. And he says, well, I want to tell you something. If you don't bow, I'm going to give you one more shot. If you don't bow, I'm going to heat this fiery furnace up 7 times hotter than it's ever been heated before. And if you don't bow, I'm going to throw you into the fiery furnace. These guys had a decision to make. And they could have just as well said, you know what, we're just going to bow. We're not going to cause any confrontation. We're not going to stand out and be different. We're not going to let everybody see us cause a scene. You know, we can just bow as everybody else does, and we'll just fit in with everybody else. And it was a time in their life when they either were going to be courageous or they were going to cower up. They were either going to be courageous or they were going to just fit in with everybody else. Can I tell you that this morning, as you graduates go out into a new world, you're going to see things, you're going to experience things, you're going to be in the middle of things that you've never seen before, that don't fit right here in Siloam, that don't fit in Ararat, Pilot Mountain, Cana, wherever you're from, that you're going to see things that maybe you've never been exposed to before. And there's going to come a time and a place when you're pointed out for being different. There's going to be a time and a place when they point at you and say, well, everybody else is doing it, why ain't you doing it? And you're going to have an opportunity to either be courageous or you're going to fall and you're going to fit in with everyone else. Can I encourage you this morning that there is going to be a time and a place that you're going to have to be courageous and stand up for who you are and what you know is right? These three boys, they looked at the king and they said, oh, king, we don't care what you do to us. If you throw us into the fiery furnace, we know that our God is able to deliver us. But whether he does or not, we don't care. We still ain't going to bow to your golden image. The Bible tells us that they were thrown into the fire, that the fire was so hot that it actually consumed the man that threw them in there. And then the Bible tells us that old Nebuchadnezzar went and looked down into the fiery furnace. And he said, did we not cast 3 men into the fire? Why do I see 4 that are loose, and the 4th is likened unto the Son of God? I want to tell you this morning, if you'll take that 20 seconds and you'll be brave, you'll be courageous, you'll stand up for the glory of God, that he'll be right there in the middle of it with you. He'll never forsake you. He'll never leave you in the middle of it. Amen. Joshua, as he was talking to the children of Israel one day, they couldn't decide which way they were going to go. And he looks at them and says, how long will you halt between two opinions? How long are you not going to make up your mind? He said, today you're going to choose. And as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. I want to ask you today, have you made up your mind? Whether you're graduating, whether you're 50 years old, whether you're 30 years old, have you made up your mind that as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord? We may not fit in with everybody else. We may not do what everybody else does, but I'm going to be courageous. When those opportunities come up, I'm going to be courageous. I'm going to be courageous and stand up for what I know, who I am and who I belong to. Have courage to stand up. Y'all forgive me for being so excited this morning. Going to have courage to stand up. Mark chapter number 10. I want to turn to Mark chapter number 10 really quick. Verse number 46. It's okay if y'all want to get excited with me, amen? This is better than any ball game you'll go to. Not that my preaching is, but the Word of God is. Mark chapter number 10, verse number 46. And they came to Jericho, and he went out of Jericho with his disciples and a great number of people. Blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the highway side begging. Here we find a man just sitting on the side of the road, knowing he needed help. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. Now listen, this man had heard all of the miracles that Jesus had done. Here he sits on the side of the road, blind, knowing that he needs help. Knowing he has heard about what Jesus has done, and he's got a pretty good idea that Jesus can fix him. And he knows that Jesus is passing by his way. Now look, when we read this, we read that blind Bartimaeus is sitting by the highway side begging, and we read these words just really calm and really quiet, and we say, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. Now do you really think that's the way that it was? If you were sitting there blind and you knew that the cure was going to be walking by and you knew that the cure, if the cure just heard you, that maybe today would be the day that you could receive your sight. I'm not going to scream for the sake of the microphone, but I believe that blind Bartimaeus was even more excited than I am this morning. I believe that he, with a loud, raised voice, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. I believe that he was making a racket. Verse number 48, and many charged him that he should hold his peace. But he cried the more a great deal, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. And they called the blind man, saying to him, be of good comfort, rise, and he calleth thee. And he, casting away his garment, rose and came to Jesus. And Jesus answered and said unto him, what wilt thou that I should do unto thee? The blind man said unto him, Lord, that I might receive my sight. And Jesus said unto him, go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole. And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus in the way. I want you to know that even as he was there and he was crying out loud and he knew that the cure was coming by, that people were going, blind Bartimaeus, be quiet. Be quiet. You're making too much of a scene. You're speaking up too much. Well, first of all, you might need courage to stand up, and then you might need courage to speak up. We're living in a day and a time that society wants to tell you that your message is no good. Society wants to tell you to just be silent, that your voice is not important, that what you're saying is irrelevant, unimportant, and unpopular. And a lot of that is society, and the unpopular part is true. But I want to tell you this morning that if God has saved you by His amazing grace, that if you know without a shadow of a doubt that you've been forgiven of your sins, that your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life, don't let anybody silence you about the love of Jesus Christ. Don't let anybody tell you not to speak up on the behalf of your Lord and Savior. Don't let anybody tell you just to be quiet. I want you to do like blind Bartimaeus and just get even more louder when that comes along, because you're going to come in contact with people that says, your message, we don't want to hear your message any longer. But I want to tell you something, that our message is the only message that has any hope, that has any love, that has any grace and any mercy in it this morning. We've got the best message there is, and we need to have some courage, and we need to speak up for the glory of God. Hey, I know we're living in a day and a time that it takes courage to speak up. It takes courage to stand up. But we got 20 seconds. You got a short moment when someone tells you that your message is no good. We can tuck our tails and run. We can drop our heads and walk away. Or we can say, well, you may not like my message, but I want to tell you something. The love of Jesus Christ is worth speaking up for. And I'm going to have courage and speak up on the behalf of my Lord and Savior. Are you going to have courage this morning? Hey, a lot of this message, I was thinking about our graduates when I was thinking about it and preparing for it. But adults, we still face this every single day, don't we? We come into contact with people that don't want to hear our message. Hey, you go tell them about the big party that you was at Friday night, they'll listen. You go tell them about some old raunchy something that you seen on TV, they'll listen. But you start telling them about the love of Jesus Christ, and all of a sudden, they don't want you to speak up anymore. But have courage, be courageous, and speak up for the glory of God. You have to have courage to stand up, to speak up. Be courageous for the cause of Christ. I got to move on. We've got to have courage to stand up, courage to speak up. If you turned over, and we're not going to again for the sake of time, but in Joshua chapter number 6, we find that as Joshua is leading the children of Israel, that they come up against a city called Jericho. Jericho was a great big fortified city, had a big wall around it. They go into Jericho, and without all the details of the story, they defeat Jericho just by walking circles around Jericho. The walls fall down, and man, they just overtake Jericho. But listen, there was some specific instructions that God had given them as they defeated Jericho, that they weren't supposed to take anything out of the city. Well, somebody did. And they took these valuables, and they hid them under their tent. Well, the next battle comes up to Ai. And as Joshua's leading the children of Israel, and they come up against Ai, and they look at Ai, and they say, look, Ai's no problem. There's no sense in us sending everybody down there. Look, God's going to deliver us. This is going to be okay. Sounds like they got courage, don't it? Sounds like, man, they're being bold. And we're thinking, yeah, here we go. Well, they go up into Ai, and they get their tails wore out. They have to run. They have to draw back. And it was because someone had not obeyed God back at Jericho. But we find Joshua, as he's leading the children of Israel, he don't know what had happened at Jericho. He don't know the situation that God's dealing with. So he goes to God, and he's like, God, what in the world? You just gave me such great victory at Jericho. You just delivered in an amazing way. Man, we were so excited. I was being courageous. Man, you said you would never fail me, that you would never forsake me. And now here we are at Ai, and we've been defeated by somebody that there's no way they should have beat us. God, what's going on? And then we find Joshua in chapter number 7 that he's about in a place to give up. He's on his face. Might have been kicking and screaming. He was praying to God, whining to God, asking God. We find that he's in a bad place. I want to tell you something. that in our Christian walk, there are going to be times that we have failures, we mess up. Hey, there's going to be a day when you have the courage to stand up or to speak up, and you're going to come out of there and you're going to feel like you're on cloud nine and everything. Hallelujah. I mean, you'll just go out and stand in the yard and just wave. I mean, you'll be at one with God. Y'all ever been there? Okay, y'all ain't crazy like I am. You're going to find yourself in that place. Oh, I'm such a spiritual being. Me and God, we've got this all worked out. And then all of a sudden, something's going to happen that's going to crash and burn your world. It might be that you fall. It might be that you fail. It might be a new situation or a burden or a family, something that comes along your way, and it just wipes you out. Kind of like Joshua is here in chapter number 7. And man, he's just wiped out and he's on his face, kicking and screaming, crying out to God. And if you've never been there, you probably will sometime in your Christian life. And you can either keep laying there and flopping around like a fish, and you need to keep laying there and just saying, I can't believe that God. Hey, and we all need that time from time to time. We have to whine and cry just a little bit. But then there has to be a place and a time that courage hits us. And after we have the courage to stand up or the courage to speak up, sometimes we're going to need courage to get up. There's going to be a place and a time when you're on your face. You don't know why you're in the situation that you're in. You don't know why you're going through what you're going through. You have no idea what's going on. God, I thought I was doing everything right. God, I thought I was standing up, speaking up. God, I thought everything was... And here I am, God. Why am I going through this? And that's kind of the way that I feel that Joshua's heart was here at this time after being defeated at Ai. But then in Joshua chapter number 7, verse number 10, look what God said. And the Lord said unto Joshua, get thee up. Wherefore that liest thou thus upon thy face? He said, I need you to have some courage, Joshua. I know that you've been through something. I know that you don't understand what happened at Ai. And God's fixing to tell him what happened at Ai. He said, I know you don't understand, but you need to have some courage and you need to get up. This morning, I believe that there are Christians all over this world, maybe some in our sanctuary this morning, that maybe sin has run you over, that maybe life has run you over, that circumstances, burdens, something that you're in the middle of that you didn't even ask for, something that just is wiping out your world right now, and you're on your face and you're crying out to God and saying, God, I don't know why I'm in the middle of this, and I believe that God is speaking to some of us and say, get courageous and get up. It's time for you to get up and get off your face and get back to standing up and speaking up and doing what you're supposed to do. It's going to take courage, but it's time to get up. Don't let sin wipe you out. Don't let burdens wipe you out. Don't let troubles and trials or family situations, don't let a change of circumstance wipe you out. God's been so, look, you remember what he said in Joshua chapter number 1, verse number 9, I am with thee whithersoever thou goest. Don't let it wipe you out. Be courageous. Hey, in 20 seconds, you can make a decision. Am I going to be courageous or am I going to remain spineless, gutless, and a coward? Now, I know some of you men, I won't speak for some of you ladies because I don't like the thoughts of some of y'all whooping me. But some of you men, if I got nose to nose with you and told you that you were spineless, gutless, and called you a coward, I know Alan Sawyers would take me out. I mean, that's just all there is to it. I think he'd, and it wouldn't take him very long. He about took me out in Walmart just a couple weeks ago. He put me in a sleeper hold. I didn't know he was behind me, and I was about gone in just a minute. That's a bad thought, being in the middle of Walmart and going out. I mean, you just see everything going dark. But some of you, I could stand nose to nose with you and call you spineless, gutless, and a coward, and you'd be ready to fight. You'd be ready to make that decision. No, I'm not spineless, gutless, or a coward. But I can look at you spiritually this morning and say you're spineless, gutless, or a coward, and you go, yeah, I am. What's the difference? Man, this physical stuff that we got going on in our lives, this physical strength that we may think that we have is nothing compared to the God that we serve this morning. What in the world? Let's get up. Have some courage and get up. Some of you that are fixing to take off in your new life, look, I don't even like to think about this because I don't even like to think about it with my own children. But you're going to get away from mom and dad. You're going to be living in a circumstance where now you're making all the decisions. Mom and dad's still going to be right there anytime that you need them. They're going to be checking on you. They might even do some midnight ride-bys when you have no idea that they're anywhere around. And they're going to do a whole lot of talking to God about you. I do not like the thoughts of this, but you might even find yourself in a place that you make a wrong choice. You make a bad decision. Let me share something that I tell my son a whole lot, and I will tell my daughters as they continue to get older. Look, you're going to make some bad decisions in your life. You're going to make some bad choices. You're going to make some mistakes. But be real careful and don't make those life-changing mistakes. Those life-altering. And you say, well, what are you talking about? Well, every little choice has some consequences that come along with it. But let's just use one real simple one. I say it's simple, but it's something that we face today. Let's talk about this. Just something simple, something that's clean, something that's not really a big deal. You're riding down the road and your buddy texts you. Don't pick up your phone and text them back when you could end your life or someone else's. Being stupid and being on the phone. I don't like to call my youngin' stupid, but if y'all do that, you're stupid. Okay, don't do that. Church, y'all could say amen right there. Don't leave me out here to dry. I can't believe the preacher said that. And y'all all are going, be courageous. But if you make some small mistakes, some things you just go, man, I can't believe I said that. I can't believe that I was there. I shouldn't have been there. Look, you may hit your face. You may know that you have fallen. But have some courage and get up. Don't stay there. The shame in making a mistake is staying in that mistake, not getting up and going on. I'm going to end right here in just a minute. You got to have courage to stand up, to speak up, to get up. And last of all, in Acts chapter number 9, we find a man who was against Christian people. We find a man that was persecuting Christians. We find a man that was so against Christianity that the Bible tells us that even when they stoned Stephen, that he held the coats of the men that were stoning Stephen while they stoned him. This man was Saul. But one day when Saul was walking down the Damascus Road, one day when he was on a way to get permission to persecute some more Christians, to continue doing what he was doing, God spoke to him right there on the Damascus Road. Do you remember where you were at when God spoke to you? I sure do. Look, this is going to sound a little weird. But as Saul was there and as God called out to him and said, Saul, 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 Saul. The Bible tells us that God responded and said, here I am, what do you want me to do? Sometimes you're going to have courage and give up. Preacher, what do you mean? That sounds like a coward. That sounds spineless and gutless. You know what? When it comes to giving up and fully surrendering your heart and life to God, there's nothing more courageous that you could ever do. It takes courage to stand up, to speak up, to get up. And this morning, it's going to take courage if you give up and surrender your life to Christ. I want to encourage you. Look, teenagers, if some of y'all are fixing to take off on new journeys, and some of y'all are fixing to come out from under mom and dad's wing a little bit, not their pocketbooks, but their wing. As you're fixing to do that, I want to encourage you to be courageous and give up. Fully surrender your life unto God. You say, well, preacher, I did that. I got saved a long time. Hey, you know what? The night that I got saved, I did fully surrender. But over time, I've took some of that responsibility back and thought that I could handle it. But you know what? I can't even walk without him holding my hand. Teenagers, I'm so proud of y'all. You just don't know. My heart, when I look at you, I see my responsibility to be your pastor, to live the life that I should be in front of you. But you won't have anybody praying any harder for you besides your mom and dad that you surrender your life unto God. You've got some choices coming at you. You got some responsibilities coming to you. Hey, and the responsibilities that come with this life with a job and bills and all that's all just everyday responsibilities. But I'm talking about your responsibility unto God. You've been raised in church. You've professed Jesus Christ as your Savior. Now, I just want to encourage you to have that 20 seconds of insane courage, that 20 seconds of insane bravery, and say, God, here's my life. I may fall, I may fail, but God, you've got my life, and I'm going to fully surrender to you. Now, the rest of you adults that are looking at me and going, where are you at? Are you surrendered? Or are you in the boat that I found myself, that I've took some of it back? Hannah, if you will, come get us an invitation hymn this morning. Jennifer, if you can, come help her, please. Look, you can find yourself out of touch with God, walking down the wrong road, mixed in with the wrong people, or in a bad situation. And it don't take courage to stay in that. It takes courage to say, God, I surrender and I give up. If you're here this morning and you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, when are you going to finally give up? You've been fighting it for a long time. You've talked to people that you have confidence in and told them that you know that you need to be saved. You've talked to people that you have confidence in, that you know are Christians, and you ask them questions about the Bible, you ask them questions about being saved, but when are you finally just going to be courageous and give up? Quit fighting it. I believe it was Alan talking about his dad in Sunday school this morning, talking about holding on to the back of that pew until his knuckles turned white, until one day he finally gave up and went and received Jesus Christ. Well, here in just a moment, you're going to have an opportunity to have insane courage, to have insane bravery. Church, you're going to have an opportunity to have courage, not to worry about what anybody else thinks of you or says about you. Teenagers, you're going to have an opportunity to just have insane courage and come to this altar and make things right with God. With every head bowed and every eye closed for just a moment, would there be one in the congregation this morning and say, Preacher, I don't know Jesus Christ as my Savior. You're right. I'm curious about it. I've asked questions, and I really want to be saved, but I've just never had the courage to do it. Will you pray for me that today, when I'm given that opportunity, that I'll have insane courage, and that today will be the day that I get saved? Would you just slip up your hand? Anyone in the congregation, just slip up your hand. Preacher, pray for me. I'm not saved. Christians, maybe you're here and you found yourself, you're not standing up, you're not speaking up. Maybe you need to get up, or it's time you give up. Preacher, I pray that today will be that day that I'd make that decision, that I have 20 seconds of insane courage, and I get things right where they need to be with God, that I get my life fully surrendered unto God. Would you just slip up your hand and let me pray for you? I hope today is the day that I have that insane courage. Lord, I want to thank you and I want to praise you, God. God, I don't know whether we even have the courage to admit it or not, but I'm sure we all need help from you today. God, as we have this congregation invitation here in just a minute, God, I pray that you'll speak to our hearts, and I pray that we'll take this opportunity to have that courage, to have the courage, God, that we give it up, that we fully surrender, and God, we let you be Lord of our lives. God, I pray for these teenagers as they go, God, on this journey that they're fixing to go on. God, I pray that you'll be with them. God, I pray that you'll help them to stand up, speak up, get up, and give up. God, be with them. Help us, God, as maybe they become a little less seen around here because they're in that new walk, God, that we won't forget them, that we'll pray for them, that we'll lift them up to you. God, help us to pray for their parents as they go through what they go through, as they continue to try to lead them. God, help us not to put our eyes on success of this world, but to keep them on the eyes of the success spiritually. In Jesus' name that I pray.